The 30th yahrzeit this evening of my wife's grandmother, Yaffa Bela Gopin, from Eliana's named, Eliana Bela. She actually relates a little bit, one of the things that was very special about her, that I didn't know her personally, relates to the Mishnah tonight that we're going to take a look at regarding the witnesses who come to testify about the new moon. She used to always, to my father-in-law would tell me, bake chocolate cakes for people who would move into the neighborhood way back when. In Brookline, Massachusetts. So if you want to attract Jews to an event, what's necessary? Food. You guys got it. You almost have a little bit of experience in the field. So when it comes to witnessing the new moon, there's no difference. So remember, we talked a little bit last week. Dr. Resnick was here for this. We were talking about the idea that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva had this dispute. If you already have enough witnesses who are coming to testify about the new month, do you allow more to come, even though that's going to constitute a violation of Shabbos? And Rabbi Akiva said no, and he held them up in Lod, right, where the airport is. And Rabbi Gamliel said, no, you have to let them come, because if they get the message that they shouldn't come, what's going to happen next time? They're not going to come. And that's the same logic we talked about you know, making sure the doctor can drive home on Shabbos. So that's going to be part of this discussion as well. So all the witnesses used to pour into this kind of a holding area. And again, they would come from outside of Yerushalayim. So technically, they're not allowed to leave that space, because that they only have Dalet Amos. Once they come from outside of the Tzchum, they're not allowed to go any more distance than that. So Chatzar Gedola Haisa B'Yerushalayim. Uves Yazik Haisanikres, it was called the place of Yazik. Some people think that means the language of gathering. Ulasham Kola Edim Miskansim, they would gather all the witnesses there. Ubezdin Bodkin Osam Sham, and there they would be interrogated. Usuudos Gedolos, an enormous Kiddush. Osin Lahen Bishul Shirigilin Lavo, you would make a big hot Kiddush so that the witnesses would be incentivized to come, because they think, even if they invalidate my testimony, at least I got some potato kugel out of the deal. So again, Ein Chadash Tachas HaShamesh, there's nothing new in this world. It's an amazing thing to think about. But Rishon Elohayu Zazen Misham Kol Hayom, they had to stay there the whole day. But Hiskin Rabbi Gamliel HaZakin, Rabbi Gamliel HaZakin, the grandfather of the Rabbi Gamliel that we spoke about a moment ago, he gave them 2,000 amos in all directions. Shumahalchen Alpayim Amo L'chol Ruach, V'lo Elu Bovad Ela'av HaChachma HaBa'al Leleid, a woman who comes to help another woman give birth. We call it today the OB. Ve'aba lehatzel min hadleika, somebody who comes to fight a fire. Min hagayis, or soldiers. Min hanahar, from a swelling river. Min hamapolas, or from a rushing boulder. Harei edu kan she'ir ve'isham alpayim ama lechol ruach. Basically, people who are involved in the mitzvah, such as pikuach nefesh or kiddush hachodesh, if they have to quote unquote violate, it's not a violation of Shabbos because they're doing what they should be doing in terms of traveling from outside of the boundary, outside of the Tzchum. So Rabbi Gamliel made a takan, and he said, well, we shouldn't penalize these people and basically make them stand, you know, in the same place all day long once they have to perform the mitzvah, but we should give them some motility, about 3,000 feet, 6/10 of a mile in any direction. Basically, we should consider them one of the natural members of the city over the course of Shabbos. What about the interrogation itself? Again, you can imagine the banquet outside. There's the cholent, there's the potato kugel, and finally they call you in to ask you a little bit about the new month. Ketzad bodkin es ha'edim zug shebar rishon, the pair of witnesses that came first. Bodkin osa rishon, first come, first serve, not just with the cholent, but even with the interrogation. U'machnisen es ha'gadol shebehen, you would ask the more senior of the two witnesses first. Ve'omrim lo, and more, ketzad ra'is es ha'levana, what did it look like? Lifnei ha'chama, la'achar ha'chama, l'tzvono, l'droma, Kama Hayagova Ayan Hayanotas. They would ask him all kinds of questions about the orientation of the moon. One of the questions you had to get right, okay, they would say, which side was the dark side of the moon? And if you answered the dark side of the moon was the one that was adjacent to the sun, you didn't see the moon, because by definition, the moon is reflecting the light of the sun. So that one you had to get right. There were other things that were a little bit more subtle, depending on whether it was the summer or the winter. In the summer, the sun would be positioned litzfon, to the north of the moon, etc. And the rabbis were actually quite expert in all of these sciences, and they knew exactly what a moon should look like around a particular time of year, so they were able to make this interrogation. V'kama hayirachav, what was the light refraction? Imam alifnei achama, if they said the dark side of the moon was the side adjacent to the sun, lo amar klum, that's an invalidation of the testimony. So let's say the first one passes the test, they bring in the second one. If everything is aligned, so once you have two witnesses who are testifying correctly as a pair, to the moon and what it looked like and what its orientation was, you really don't need, let's say there are 30 other pairs there. But if you ignore them, what's going to happen? If you don't ask them any questions, they're going to say, I'm some third wheel over here. Nobody wants to talk to me. So again, the Kiddush helps with that. But, you know, we want to at least, you know, give them the sense that they're contributing. So we'd ask them very superficial questions. And that way, they would feel a measure of participation. They wouldn't feel left out in the cold. And that was very important. But again, you really only need two witnesses. So if only two witnesses show up, that should be sufficient. At that point, Rosh Beis Din Omer, playing the role of Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Pasuk says, Vayedaber Moshe, Es Modei Hashem al Bnei Yisrael. So the head of the Beis Din would say, Mekudash, that the month is sanctified. V'chol Ha'am, Oni Nachrav, everybody would shout after him, Mekudash, Mekudash. They would say it twice, because the Pasuk says, Mikra'e Kodesh, in the plural, that it should be called out twice. And again, everybody had to answer, because again, Eidem Moadei Hashem Asher Tikru Otam, Al Tikri Otam Ela Atem. So there's this call and response, a very invigorating thing. So the view of the Tanakhama was whether it's a chaser or male, it's a 29-day month or a 30-day month, Beis Din has a responsibility to sanctify the new month. So Rabbi Lezer ver Tzadok, and we follow his opinion, says, Im lo nira bismano, if it's already 30 days have elapsed, so you know the next day is going to be Rosh Chodesh anyway, ein mekachino so shekvar kitshu of shamayim. You can never have a month of 31 days. So after 30 days have elapsed, there's no reason for Beis Din to go through this process anymore. So we actually pass on like Rabbi Lezer ber Tzadok. So the only time this would actually take place is if Beis Din was forced on the 30th day as opposed to the 31st day. Beis Din was declaring that the new month was there and that the previous month had only been 29 full days. That's a situation where you'd have the witnesses and the interrogation. After 30 days have passed, again, Kvar Kitshu Shamayim, then you know that Rosh Chodesh begins the next night. Invariably, Rabbi Chananel ben Akash Amar